I notice that the song leaders are always asking everybody to stand now right before the sermon. I guess they think I'm going to be long-winded. I don't know. You know, I had a visitor one time ask us why everybody sat back toward the back. I said, well, they're ready for the great getaway. But anyway, I appreciate you being here tonight. It is always better, I think, sometimes when we fill these empty pews up front here, and I would encourage you to do that. Sometimes you don't see as many distractions also when you're sitting way back at the back. I noticed this morning when a few children were crying, not my granddaughter, but some of the others, I noticed that everybody would look over and look around, you know. You really don't see as many distractions when you sit up closer to the front. But anyway, we're glad you're here, nonetheless. And I appreciate the song, How Great Thou Art. You know, the greatness of God is seen every day in our lives. Probably none greater than found in the book of Acts. And I want you to turn tonight with me to the book of Acts chapter 3. Beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. And then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You know, I had learned a long time ago that you don't have to have money to do a lot of good in life. Now, I know that there are some people that have a lot of money and some have been great benefactors through the years with what they had. And I've always had appreciation for people that had a lot of money and were willing to give that to the Lord and to do for other people as well. Sometimes people are just stingy. I heard about Henry Ford. Many of us remember him, the great American industrialist. One time he was asked to donate money for the construction of a new medical facility. And the billionaire pledged to donate $5,000. Well, the next day in the newspaper, the headline read, Henry Ford contributes $50,000 to the local hospital. Well, the irate Ford was on the phone immediately to complain to the fundraiser that he had been misunderstood. And the fundraiser replied that they would print a retraction in the paper the following day to read, Henry Ford reduces his donation by $45,000. Realizing the poor publicity that would result, the industrialists agreed to give the $50,000 contribution in return for the following. Well, that his name would be carved on that facility. Isn't it amazing sometimes how people rationalize and how they think, if I can get credit for what I do, then I am willing to do it. You know, we ought to be a people, however, that are willing to give without expecting anything in return. Now, that's the nature of Christ. A mother one time wanted to teach her daughter a moral lesson, so she gave the little girl a quarter and a dollar for church. The mother said, put whichever one you want in the collection plate and then just keep the other for yourself, kind of testing the young girl. Well, when they were coming out of church, the mother asked the daughter which amount that she had given. Well, said the little girl, I was going to give a dollar, but just before the collection plate, the man in the pulpit said that we should all be cheerful givers, and I knew I'd be a lot more cheerful if I gave the quarter, so I did. Well, believe it or not, there are people that rationalize just like that. Well, let me speak to you tonight on this subject. Such as I have, I give unto thee. Now, Peter and John obviously didn't have money. They would have shared the truth with this individual had they had funds. But he said, Silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You know, Jesus was an individual who went about doing good wherever he was. In the book of Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, the Bible, one of the greatest epitaphs that have ever been written on printed page was this about Christ, that he went about doing good. And even though the Bible says of Christ in Luke chapter 9 and verse 58 that the foxes have their holes, the birds have their nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. Now I want to talk to you tonight about areas where you and I can be givers. Now, I would tell you first of all that we can be people that can give our time. Now I know that people are busy today, and I'm going to tell you something. Nobody's any busier than me. And if you don't believe that, you ask my secretary and you ask my wife. And I'm not trying to flaunt that or be conceited about it, that I spend a lot of time. I wouldn't be doing it if I didn't want to. I enjoy doing it, and I want to spend my time. And I want to spend my time in the right way. But none of us have enough time. I hear that all the time. Sometimes you ask people, well, would you be, well, I just don't have enough time. I would if I had time. But you know what? All of us have the same amount of time. You have 24 hours a day. I have 24 hours a day. It is a matter of how we want to use our time. The story of the Good Samaritan is a very interesting story in the Bible, and really, that lesson is not so much about giving money as it is about giving time. But I think it's interesting that in this story, Jesus captures all of it. So if you will turn tonight to the book of Luke, the book of Luke, chapter 10, let's begin reading in verse 30. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and then departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him, and he bound up his wounds, and pouring in oil and wine, he set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and there he took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. And then Jesus asked a very probing question. He says, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. You know, there's so many people in our world tonight that are hurting. Maybe not hurting physically, they may be hurting emotionally, they may be hurting spiritually, they may be hurting mentally. There are so many ways, financially, I mean, we could just go on to talk about the ways that people suffer tonight and where they need help and where they need encouragement. And you and I are to be those who come to the rescue of those who hurt. You see, Jesus comforts us, according to Paul, that we may comfort one another. There are people in our congregation, let me just illustrate here, and let's kind of get down to where the rubber meets the road here tonight. You know, we have a lot of folks in our congregation that are aged. Some of them that are widows, some that are widowers, and some that have great difficulty in their life. And sometimes maybe just a call from someone in this congregation to say, hey, I want you to know that I was thinking about you, that you took the time just to give them a call. And you know, every one of us talk on the telephone. Is there anyone in here tonight that does not talk on a telephone? Well, I got all of you then, see? So every one of us tonight are people that use either a cell phone or a landline phone. And it only takes just a minute to pick up the phone and give someone a call and say unto them, hey, I just wanted you to know that I'm thinking about you. I know that you are alone. I know you're by yourself. Let me challenge you to do that this week. It will blow the minds of those perhaps who are by themselves. Think about the widows. Think about the widowers. Think about the aged in this congregation. Maybe their family is not here. They need encouragement. You know, sometimes people are in distraught situations. I got a call this week from a concerned individual here about another woman who is a widow woman in this city, outside the city actually. Her air conditioner had gone out, and she said, I don't know what this poor woman is going to do. Well, anyway, we immediately went to work and tried to come up with a solution to help these people. And anyway, hopefully the problem has been resolved. But there are so many people in our world that need a loving care, that need loving care and concern on the part of those of us who have been blessed by God. You know, the young in the church also need encouragement. Sometimes people are quick to belittle and ridicule the young. Maybe because they are constantly changing, and maybe they wear a little bit different cut of clothes than we wear. And, you know, I still hadn't got used to that crotch down to the ankles yet, but I guess that's all right if that's what they want to wear. But, and anyway, our young people need encouragement. They need love, and they need understanding as much as anything in the world. Our families need your time. Your children need your time. One of these days, your children will grow up and they will be gone. And those of you that have children that have grown up and gone understand what I'm talking about. It probably seems like it was just yesterday when they were at your home. And now they have grown up. So God is challenging us to give our time. I realize that we live in a busy world and the demands of life are great. But we should never, ever lose sight of those around us who need our time. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 8 and verse 5, Solomon said that a wise man's heart discerneth the time. That is, he thinks about it. He is thinking about it all the time, how he can use his time wisely. And that's why in the book of Ephesians 5 and verse 16, Paul says to redeem the time. That is, to buy the time up, use it, and use it wisely. And that's true of our life. Our life is like a vapor that appears for a little time and then it's gone all of a sudden. And it is. We live in a race against time. A number of years ago, Ann Murray sang a song entitled Time Don't Run Out on Me. You may remember that song. But sometimes time does run out. And probably many of us would like to go back and capture again those moments that we let slip by. Someone said it in this way. Time is the age of the half-read page and the quick hash and the mad dash, the bright night with nerves tight, the plane hop with a brief stop, the lamp tan in short span, the big shot in a good spot, and the brain strain, the heart pain, and the cat naps till the spring snaps, and then the fun is done. And that's kind of the way life is, isn't it? It is. So God says, give your time. Give your time. And that's really what Jesus did. And he left us an example that we too should give our time. Now, sometimes we're just so selfish with our time. We really are. You know, I've often thought there'd be so much more done in the kingdom of God and the church. I mean, there'd be so much more soul saving and reaching out to people that were hurting and reaching out to people that are unfaithful if we really understood what is important in life and how we ought to use our time. One of the things I think that really impresses me most about this story of the Good Samaritan and what Peter and John said to this lame man is the fact that sometimes it's just the little things of life. And didn't Jesus teach that as well? In Matthew 10:42, he said if we were to give a cup of cold water in his name, it would not go without its reward. Isn't that interesting? And when he came to the judgment scene in Matthew chapter 25, he said, I was thirsty and you gave me drink. You know how you did it? He said, because you did it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. You have done it unto me. The little things of life. Jesus observed a treasury one time. I don't know exactly where it was. I suppose in Jerusalem. And the story goes that people were coming by and they were casting in out of their coffers all kinds of money. And they would walk by and they would lay their money up to be seen of men. And yet there was a poor little widow. And notice this, Jesus is watching. And so this little widow woman comes by. She didn't know where her next meal's coming from. I know that because the Bible says she gave two mites and she gave it all. Maybe she thought somebody would be charitable enough to help her. Or maybe she really believed what Christ taught in Luke chapter 9 when he said, given it shall be given unto you good treasure, treasure. They will bless you, pressed down, overflowing shall men give into your bosom. Maybe she really believed that. And she exercised her faith and she gave. Little things. You know, sometimes I hear, and I'm thankful for the deacons in the congregation here who assign various widows and widowers, and they call them periodically to try to find out if they need things, and I would challenge our deacons to continue to do that. That really is important. But I hear from people within the congregation, you know, one of the deacons called me the other day and asked me if I could do anything, and I told him that I had a light bulb that needed to be replaced, but I just couldn't get up on the ladder to replace that light bulb. Or I had a leaky faucet, you know, and they called and wanted to know if there was some way that they could be of help to me. And that really is what their work is all about, isn't it? Being servants. That's what the word deacon means, diakonos. It means to be a servant and to help. It's so important. Little things mean so much. I hear people talk sometimes about getting cards in the mail from those in this church, and Jerry and Jim Hahn have done a masterful job, I think, in doing that. We commend you for that through the years, because I hear feedback from people all the time, not just in this congregation, but other places as well, who have received those cards. Just a little thing. But what an impact upon others. But then last of all, we can offer our words of encouragement. And who doesn't need a word of encouragement? David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God. We ought to be generous with praise and cautious with criticism. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs 12 and verse 25 that heaviness of the heart will make a man stoop. But a good word will make him glad. Heaviness of the heart will cause us to bend over and to make us stoop, he says. But a good word maketh it glad. Isn't it amazing sometimes how you can be around people and they look like they're distraught. I mean, they're having trouble. There's something going wrong. I mean, they're not smiling. And all of a sudden you can come up and maybe say a few words, tell a joke, whatever. Offer them a word of encouragement and they brighten up. Sometimes people are just waiting for others to speak to them and to be friendly. Solomon said if a man would have friends, he must show himself friendly. He must be the kind of person that he wants other people to be. Sometimes I wonder if we look into the mirror of God's word and see ourselves for what we really are. Not what we think we are, but what we are. Dwayne said he heard a song a while ago on the radio coming in. I'm glad to know you listen to country music. Anyway, he said he heard a song. He said, Lord, help me to be the kind of man that my dog thinks I am. Well, I thought, well, that's a good song, I guess. Proverbs 25 and 11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Matthew 12:36, Jesus said, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And if any of you seem to be religious, he says in James 1 and verse 26, and bridleth not his tongue, listen to it, this man's religion is in vain, because he deceives his own heart. So much we could do. Just a word of encouragement. And you know, anybody can offer that. Doesn't take long. Let me challenge you to do that this week, honestly. Now, I know you're going to have a busy week, just like everybody else does, but this wouldn't take you 5 minutes. It won't take you that long. I promise you it won't. Pick out someone in this congregation You go home tonight, because you'll forget this if you don't. You go home and you write it down somewhere by your phone. I am going to call. And you write down their name. Now, I'm not saying you have to call everybody in church. You may have time to call a few more than one. But call somebody and let them know you love them. Let them know you're thinking about them, that you noticed them. And let me challenge you to do something else. Sometimes it's good to call people that we're not really that acquainted with that well. Sometimes I hear people in church, well, I just don't know that person that well, or I'd call them. How in the world do you think you're going to get to know them? How'd you get to know your wife or your husband? So, well, one of these days when I get to know them, I'm going to ask them out for a date. No, you didn't do that. You called them up. Initiate a friendship. Don't wait for somebody to call you. Be an instigator. And when we give of ourselves to others, our time, the little things of life, our words of encouragement, our life becomes a channel of blessing. Because you know what's going to happen? Is that person you call is going to say, now wasn't that really nice of that person to call me up? I think I'll just do the same thing. And they get on the call on the phone and they start calling someone else, and that person will call someone else, and that person will call someone else, and before you know it, the whole church is encouraged. And it's so very, very important. You may not have money, you may have money. Maybe you can do it with that. But you have time. I know that. And you can offer a word of encouragement. So let me challenge you to do that this week. So I hope tonight that each and every one of us, as we leave this place, will leave with a greater resolve to reach out to someone and touch them with our kindness. And we all have the capability of doing that. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, then obviously the way to begin your walk with Christ is to become one, as our brother did this morning, by acknowledging his faith in Christ and through a penitent heart submitted himself to be immersed in water, that the sin that he had committed in his life might be forgiven. God still forgives us when we turn to him. And as Christian people, when we feel that we have been negligent or derelict in our responsibilities to one another, then it's time for us to awaken to that and be man enough and woman enough to admit it and say, you know what? From now on, I'm going to do better. And I would challenge you to do that tonight while we stand and while we sing.